Good morning, 7:31 a.m. on July the 31st, last day of July. I'm just pushing through. I'm on a record pace. Let's see if I can break 15 again this morning. Come on. Give me the tick. 14:51. Okay, broke 14, broke 15. I could have done an extra 15 seconds better if I had not taken so long getting the morning's picture. Yeah. Wow, this second mile is going to be slow. My legs are saying, what the hell are you thinking? So anyway, yeah, good morning and welcome to all the new people from the Dog Days of Summer podcast challenge. I signed up yesterday to participate in a podcast a day challenge. Since I'm supposed to do a podcast a day, this seemed like that little bit of extra incentive I needed to actually do 30 days in a row. And yesterday was the first day, so I suspect some people got a podcast yesterday that was a little bit not exactly what they were looking for. For those of you who are new here and who did not read the description that I provided, this is me talking on my morning walk. I walk 2 miles. I'm supposed to do it every day. I try to do it every day. I don't always succeed. Good morning. And this is the second mile. So I walk, and usually listen to my Lady Gaga channel on Pandora to keep my pace up, and then I talk on the second mile. Second mile might be anything, including, God, my legs are sore, or what a beautiful morning it is, because it is. It's a gorgeous day out here. I'm on the high plains of Colorado, east of the Rockies, north-northeast of Denver. 4,800 feet, not quite a mile high, but it's gorgeous. It's probably about 60 degrees, might be as low as 58, I don't know. Temperature is approximate anyway, and it varies on where you're standing, so somewhere around 60 Fahrenheit. If you check the Twitter feed for N. Lowell, you'll see that I posted a picture of the sunrise when I left, and it's that picture that I take every morning when I leave the house that slows me down for the first mile. Second mile, what slows me down is fatigue, and it's hard to talk and walk fast. So my target time is under 19 minutes, and most frequently I make both miles at that pace, so it works out okay. Good morning. So yeah, the podcast is not necessarily one that has high production values. It's literally on a wired headset that plugged into my phone, and when I get home I'll upload it to my computer, do a little bit of massage to it, not much, and then upload it to my own website. And when I do that, in theory, it will get syndicated over to the Dog Days of Summer podcast challenge. Today what I'm talking about, what I'm thinking about today, are the edits that have to go into Captain Share. I was so hoping that I would have the edits done yesterday. And I went through and I did a lot of the edits that I knew needed to be done, the ones from memory, because they're edits we're putting in to make the books more consistent across all the versions, all the titles, things like capitalization, some references and stuff like that need to be cleaned up. So morning. There was a lot of stuff that I knew that needed to be done. Time references. Yeah, my original publisher made me spell out military time with colons in it, because the readers are used to seeing colons in time. Except, no. Readers who read any kind of military science fiction, who read any kind of military fiction at all, are very familiar with 0500 as 5 a.m. So I put the colons in just because it was not one of the battles that I wanted to win. Now that in my books again, I can take them all out. So I did a lot of editing. And then I opened the file that my editor had sent back with all the changes in it. All 160 pages of edits. The book itself is only 455 pages long in manuscript form. 160 pages of edits. Now, granted, every capitalization error, regardless if it's repeated several times throughout the book, gets tagged. A lot of stuff that I can do with find and replace on the first one means that a lot as of the changes further down the page, further down the document, those are already taken care of by the time I get to them. So that works out okay. It's a little bit shocking that even with 100 and some of the changes I don't think are really changes I'm going to adopt. I understand why the change was suggested, and no, not going to happen. One of the things that I'm not going to change here are a lot of the flavor words, the flavor phrases. The slang that is peculiar to the ship. It's peculiar to the ship. I can't really change it. It's not a question of whose idiom it belongs to. It's an idiom from the ship. So trying to read the story through the eyes of some particular nationality and expecting that the story is going to track according to your language standards isn't necessarily going to hold up too well. And some of them have changed. I do, you know, some of them are like, is there a better way to say this? Keeping in mind the Neil Gaiman admonition that if somebody tells you that your story doesn't work or something's not right, they're probably right. But if they tell you exactly what's wrong and how to fix it, they're almost invariably wrong. Now, with typos, yeah, there's a lot of typos. There's a lot of deliberate word choices that are not the correct choice technically, but are the correct choice for that character. So, yeah, this is an opportunity for me to review and say, did I do that on purpose or did I do that by accident? And I'm feeling very good that what's going to go out is going to be much stronger than it would have otherwise. And since this will be the first time it goes out, I'm really anxious that it at least looks good. At least as good as I can make it. And so that means, see, when I left the house this morning, I've been up since 4. When I left the house this morning, I had I'd done 47 of the 160 pages of edits. So, yeah, today is going to be tie me to the desk until the edits are done. This will probably be one of the few times I actually get up from the desk all day. Although my daughters have given me a rather substantial grocery list, so maybe what I'll do is make a grocery run around noon or something just to break up the day, get up and stretch. But I wrote this story 2009? Yeah, 2009. Good morning. So, 4 years ago, about this time of year, actually, if I remember correctly. And, see, I haven't, other than the fact that I went through and edited it last summer, I'd sort of forgotten how much fun this book really is for me. I hope it's going to be fun for other people, but watching Ishmael operate as captain, as opposed to trying to work within the chain of command, trying to keep himself safe from Munkpo, from an otherwise hostile environment. This is a great deal of fun. I hope the readers like it. It's got a little more conflict. It does go back a little bit to some of the early critique of Ishmael doing no wrong, except of course he does do many things wrong. It's just you have to read carefully to figure out which ones are the mistakes. And he beats himself up a lot for various things that he perceives as mistakes, even though some of them aren't. So it was a fun book for me to write. It was a fun story for me to read along. In fact, I go in and I do an edit change and I find myself reading down the page because the story has... I mean, I know what the story is. It still sucks me in. So I'm pretty confident. I'm moderately hopeful. Move it. Vehicles everywhere this morning. So, other than that, there's not a lot going on between the ears today. I did have a conversation yesterday with some of the people in the Writer's Discussion group on Google Plus about branding. Branding is one of those things that a lot of people seem to have trouble with. I'm not going to say they get it wrong, but I think they don't really quite understand what it is they're dealing with. And the problem with branding is that you either pay attention to your brand and try to, emphasis on the word try, to manage it, or it will be managed for you by your audience. And in many cases, it's going to be managed for you by your audience no matter what you try to do. So it's an interesting thing. In a lot of ways, it's similar to a concept that I've talked about here before, which is social presence, which is the perception that other people have of you. Branding, in many ways, is the perception that other people have of you and your product, or they have of you by way of your product. And for writers, for authors in particular, I think a lot of people conflate genre with brand. And they say, my brand is science fiction. Okay, yeah. It's a pretty broad brand. And if you actually work to establish that brand, but then decide you want to, say, write science fiction, or write fantasy, like I do. Like I do as well. You can run into some problems with not necessarily being taken seriously in the second genre if the first genre brand connection is quite stable, is quite strong. So you have to re-earn that brand, you have to earn that expansion. Whereas if you started out with, I think I want to write a whole variety of speculative fiction. Well, okay, now that includes science fiction, it includes fantasy, it includes horror, it includes all kinds of stuff. Paranormal, probably. It's a much bigger envelope. It's a much wider umbrella. And then the question becomes, how do you differentiate yourself within that brand space? Because there are a lot of people who want to write everything. And one of the difficulties with writing all of that, with going across all those genre boundaries, or worse, trying to mash them all into a single story, is that it becomes very difficult for readers to find the stories that you write that they like. So having a lot of brands is sort of a red flag. It's sort of a. I know when I'm looking for an author, somebody who writes mysteries and thrillers and science fiction and fantasy and horror and romance and it's like, really? The problem, of course, is that in order to do well in a genre, you have to have read the genre. You have to understand how the genre works. You have to understand which are the cliches and which are the tropes. And the problem is that a cliche can be a trope. And it becomes cliche only when the trope is misused. And so, you know, knowing what that misuse is, knowing how that misuse works. A classic example is the Adam and Eve story, right? Two astronauts are stranded on a planet, a male and a female, and their ship blows up in orbit, and there they are, stuck on a planet and trying to make a life for themselves, and their names are Adam and Eve. It's like, yeah, no. That's a cliche. Now, the Adam and Eve story could probably be retold if you could reimagine it in a way that it wasn't the classic cliche. If you took the trope of the first two settlers and hung a lantern on the cliche, and rather than having it be the surprise ending, which it never is, actually having it be the surprise beginning, it's like, okay, crap, here we are on this planet, naked. Now what do we do? Okay, write that story. That's the Adam and Eve story, but it's not the Adam and Eve cliche story. All right, now we're talking. Now we can do something. And the problem that people have when they write in, for lack of a better term, a foreign genre, one that they've not read widely or deeply, and you need to do both. God love you, you need to do both. But if you haven't done it, then the probability of making those kinds of cliche versus trope mistakes are much more likely. The probability is much higher. So yeah, it's a difficult thing to do. But brand is much more than just genre. Brand is what do you write? So, for example, my brand is a science fiction and fantasy and space opera in science fiction that does not rely on saving the universe every 50 pages and blowing something up every 20. My fantasy is taking the standard tropes and turning them on their ears, but all of the stories have a common theme, which is ordinary people in extraordinary circumstances, and in large part doing ordinary things, doing things that ordinary people in those positions would be expected to do. So discovering life on another planet, Ishmael Wong is not likely to do that. Saving the world from the ultimate evil, Tanith Fairport, is not likely to do that. That's not the Tanith Fairport universe. The world, as we know it, is not threatened by ultimate evil, although watching the news, one might be hard-pressed to accept the reality of that. My standard admonition is never a tribute to malice, that which can be completely explained by stupidity. And right now, we see a lot of stupidity. Oh! '1712 on the back half. And for those of you who know what that means I'm almost back to where I started. I'm almost back to my back gate. And it's the point in time on my podcast where I say, tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.